today on the Energy is Love podcast. Tune in as Stephanie and I talk about things. Bum, bum, bum. If you are one of the many listeners that we have that have been tuning in as of late, this whole year, 2019, has been massively exciting for the podcast, for us and the podcast, because we have way more people listening, and we want to thank each and every one of you, even if you're somebody that's been listening all the way from the very beginning, way, way back on episode one. But if you're listening and you're tuning in, thank you. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for following. Thank you for sharing the podcast. If you haven't done that yet, you need to, and then we'll send you that check in the mail. But thank you, everybody. It's energieslovepodcast.com. Quickest and easiest way to find all the information about this show. This episode is brought to you by InBody Yoga Academy. InBody is located in Salt Lake City, Utah at 1597 South, 1100 East. It is a beautiful, wonderful yoga studio that offers not just your basic introductory classes, but also they go through the entire process, if you're interested, of becoming a certified yoga instructor. Their teaching approach focuses on deeper practical aspects of yoga, philosophies, mindfulness, psychology, as well as emotional wellness, so that you can align your entire body and your mind. You can find more info at InBodyAcademy.com. Also, if you go to our website, EnergiesLovePodcast.com, click on the Sponsors tab, you'll be able to find the link to their info there. If you are in Utah, I encourage you to check them out. Go drop in for a class. You can find their schedule online at their website. Also, if it is your first time at InBody Yoga Academy, that first class is always free. So go check them out. It's a great studio if you are down for some incredible yoga. So on this episode, Steph and I pick apart the three F's in life. You may be wondering what they are, but we kind of dive in a little bit into the flight, fight, or freeze response, whatever order you want to put those in, and the ways that we get stuck in them, the way we experience them, the way that we can kind of move through them to some degree and some extent. Also, threes. Threes are a big part of this episode, not just with the three Fs, but Steph talks about the number three and how threes are playing out in her life right now. And you may think, what the hell does that have to do with anything? A three is just simply the number that comes between two and four. But if you stay tuned and listen, you'll find out a little bit more info. And this is May, it's the month of May. Turns out it's masturbation month. So we also dive into a little bit of a masturbatory fun because it's May. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. If you are so inclined, please reach out and shoot us an email or message in some way, shape, or form via all those social media platforms. And let us know what you think of the podcast. We love getting feedback and hearing from the listeners of this wonderful show. You guys are awesome. Now sit back and relax and turn it up for another wonderful episode with Steph and myself. Here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Yes, right. You think you got everything?
I don't know. I'm going to try.
I'm very, not very, but fairly certain that your smoothie is going to end up on the couch.
No, it's not. Why would you say that?
Because it's
well, now I have to double fist it.
Perched on the edge of, there you go. Just mix them together. Dump the coffee in the smoothie.
I had it comfortably here.
Will it not fit right next to you?
I'm afraid of moving and knocking it over to where there.
There, it's a little bit more safe.
Yeah.
Because any movement may not tip it.
Yeah. It's on a whole other cushion. Neither of us are touching that cushion. Uh-oh. Did it move?
Oh.
I think we're okay.
I think we are okay. I think we got it.
I don't know.
I think we're ready.
I don't know. I'm not, like, I think I'm going to have to keep adjusting because I cannot get comfortable.
Don't get closer to it.
I'm not. I'm just getting comfortable. I'm still not touching the cushion.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You're all set.
I don't know.
Okay, because we've been recording now for the last few minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
All of my getting... Oh, God.
Not all of your getting ready. We did not record the part where you took your pants off.
Getting comfortable.
Just recording in my undies.
Well, I'm comfortable.
I'm glad. I'm glad you're comfortable.
Now, but comfortable.
I'm the only one that can see you in your underwear right now.
Now they all know.
I don't have a shirt on.
I don't have a bra on.
I have underwear on as well.
I have underwear on. I have underwear and a shirt.
There you go. See? What are you wearing, podcast listener?
And there's coffee and smoothies. Yay.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
For what?
Took a big drink in the mic.
That's okay.
All right.
All right. I was going to ask you, you haven't listened to the episode with all the guys from Everyman, right?
Yet.
Not yet. Mm-mm. I'm very, very anxiously excited for you to listen to that episode.
Okay. I have a couple that I have to. I didn't get it done in time, but I was listening to an audiobook that was really good. It was a lot of like, oh. And it was like, I don't know.
It was a lot of quick breath work.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of breath work with that book. It was, there was a lot of breath work. There's a lot of remembering to breathe. There was a lot of yelling. There was a lot of crying.
What book was it?
It was like, so do you remember the end of our last podcast when we mentioned a little bit about Esther Perel?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was her state of affairs and
her audiobook.
Yeah.
Did she narrate it?
She did.
Good.
I love it when I find like Brené Brown narrates hers and I love it. So, yeah. And I ended up not being able to finish it. So there's like
the audiobook.
Yeah. I just ran out of time. And
do you not still have it?
No, you can only rent it for so long.
Oh, are you it's doing through, the library?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there's like 2 hours left. And so now I'm back on the waiting list. And I have two more hours to go.
We just need to get you the Audible subscription.
I know. I love it. But you know what? It's like, it doesn't make sense because it's, I almost wonder if it's even worth the cost because it's like $15 a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think you only get one book. Like it only gives you credits, I think, for one book a month.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy as much as you want and it stays there forever. So you don't have to keep it on your phone. You can have it as long as you want. You can listen to it as many times as you want. And I love that. But at the same point, like I got one a month. Come on now.
Yeah.
you know, so I don't know. So I go between thinking it's a really good idea because there's so many books that I want that just aren't in the library and on the Utah online library, whatever. And you can request, and I have, and they haven't came through. And so it's funny because you'll have a bunch that are on hold and you'll have nothing. And then all of a sudden it's like they all come through together. Ebooks and audiobooks all come through together and then you can't get through them all.
You know what's funny is for how much information I disseminate through my ears via podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like the audiobook.
Really?
Yeah, I can't do the audiobook. There's something about like, I think it's just the whole mental thing of like, I'm listening to a book. I should just be reading this or...
While you're driving?
No. But yeah, I've only tried a couple of them in the past. And maybe I should go back and try them again. But I just don't like listening to a book on audio, a book on tape. I don't listen to books on tapes.
You know, I don't like it either, but then it got to the point where it's like, how often am I just sitting there, like really able to dive in? And the truth of the matter is I've got two books right now that I'm reading on top of it, actually three. Oh my God. Okay. So I've got three books that I'm reading right now, trying to go. I've got the White Hot Truth, I think is what it's called.
Danielle Laporte.
Yes. And then Mastery of Self by Don Miguel Ruiz and...
author of The Five Agreements.
Yes. four agreements, five agreements, all lots of books. I haven't read I haven't read the fifth yet. I've got the fourth down and I've been trying. And
it is
Heather
the four agreements,
Ashemar,
it's not the five, right?
It's no, there's both.
Oh.
He started with fourth and then came out with the four and then came out with the fifth.
And then some Heather Ash one?
Yeah. The like seven secrets to healthy and happy relationships. And then I haven't even been able to crack the Warrior Goddess Way, which I have to get back to the library because there's late fees, because I just don't have enough time to read all these books. And then the ones that came out for availability on audio, which I was trying to get down, and the podcast that I'm trying to get. So yeah, there's just so much.
Stephanie, you so really much. Need to prioritize your time better.
I know.
And just devote time to listening to the Energy is Love podcast. No, I'm excited for you to listen to that episode.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of stuff in it. I was thinking about it today because I'm like, oh, I don't think she's listened to it yet. And one of the things that I'm going to give you.
You're going
to
give me?
A sneak peek on what you're about to listen to when you finally get around to listening to it.
Don't say it like I'm not going to.
No, I'm sure you will at some point.
Soon.
Yeah.
Very
it's
soon.
Just the time frame, the time thing. But one of the things that came up in the conversation with all those guys was how men in general, I mean, just men, men, I'm going to say men a couple more times.
Manly men.
Men don't even trust other men.
Yeah.
And did we talk about that at all?
No, keep going.
Oh my God. Did we totally talk about it?
Just a little bit, but it's good. And I think it needs to go out there. So go on.
Well.
I guess it's already out there, huh? Because you put it on the podcast.
Yeah, like we. I just talk about it at length on that episode.
Okay.
Go listen to that episode. But
okay.
Did I mention that to you?
A little
we
bit.
We talked about that on the podcast.
How is anyone else supposed to?
Yeah. Like how are women or society as a whole supposed to trust men when men don't even trust men?
Yeah.
And that whole dynamic of like looking at men as predators, especially in relationship to your wives or your children or things like that, where you don't want your child talking to the stranger at the park or at the grocery store who happens to be a man simply because he's definitely a pedophile or he's definitely going to kidnap them and rape them or whatever the case may be. So men don't even trust men.
I don't feel like you really do that though. Like I understand like men do that, right? As a whole, but I feel like you're kind of the exception. Like I feel like I get freaked out and then I feel like you don't really... I feel like you don't suffer from that dilemma, do you?
I do suffer from that dilemma, but I force myself to not suffer from that dilemma.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I always...
You're faking it till you make it.
No, because I think it's an irrational fear.
Mm.
I think that the vast majority of people across the board are good, kind people, right? Like, do you remember having conversations with the kids where it's like, if you're in trouble and some weirdo's trying to approach you on the street or you're walking home from school, like just turn immediately and walk to the house that you're next to and knock on the door, because the 99 out of 100 times that house is going to be a safer option than the creepo on the street. So regardless of whether or not we know the person or they're a neighbor or whatever the case may be, just go knock on a stranger's door and they're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe that.
I do too. And a lot of time too, like even, like as you would say, the criminals, right? A lot of times, even like them, they're going to look out for kids more than anything else. Like they may, whatever.
Yeah.
But when a kid comes talking for help, they're going to like, okay, whose throat are we cutting? Like they're going to, they would protect a kid beyond. So the majority of the time you are safe to go to somebody for help.
That's why I think it's an irrational fear that we have instilled upon not just our children, but that society has taken upon itself. And at the core of that irrational fear, it's men. We don't sit and think about the female or the woman that's at the park, you know, sitting there over in the corner watching the children as they play. I mean, she might at some point stand out and be a little weird and people might start wondering. But initially, people are going to look at that woman that's sitting at the park on the park bench just watching children play and not think twice about it, as opposed to the man sitting there on the park bench watching children play at the park. They're going to immediately be like, what the fuck's that guy doing?
Yeah.
And start watching them. And undoubtedly somebody's going to call the police because there's a suspicious male sitting at a park when
We had that.
We had that all the time.
I remember the one that you and I...
I guess we should clarify.
Oh.
In our previous lives, when we were both involved in the law enforcement industry...
It was the same call as the one I think you're thinking. The one that really bothered me, that was bullshit to put out and that you had to respond to, which was bullshit, just because if you don't respond...
I don't remember.
This is going to go off on a whole other tangent. This biracial family, it was the dad with his kids at the park, and the kids had to go to the bathroom, and so he was there with his kids that didn't match the quilt that society thought should fit, and he took them to the bathroom and he got called on. They thought it was a suspicious white male hanging around these kids that were clearly not his. Do you really not remember?
I responded to that.
And then after you talked to the dad and were sorry, you know, had that whole thing and like was very compassionate, then the mom came and talked to you and was upset after because they went back and then the mom found and you talked to that. You don't remember any of that?
Was it at Elton?
I think so. Anyways, it doesn't matter. So yeah, there's that.
Running through my head of all the asinine calls I ever went on as a police
Never mind.
Officer.
I'm surprised you don't remember that one. That one really bothered you.
Yeah, that one does bother me. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's silly. And like I said in the beginning, we don't even trust men.
Yeah.
Right? How do we expect the rest of society to trust men? But we talk about that on that episode with all those guys.
It's only irrational fear to somebody who hasn't had it play out. Like, I know that...
That's not true.
I'm sorry?
It's not a rational fear to only those who haven't had it play out.
Well, I'm...
Because you have to remember, I know what is out there in society.
No, okay, let me put it this... I'll just be blunt. Are you ready? And I'm not going to dive into it too much.
Okay.
So, I had an adult male in my life that my family liked and I trusted and I went to, and he turned that into an opportunity. So I went to a mill for help as a kid. And so I look at it as like, is it really an irrational fear? So then I see someone going out of the way to be kind. And it's like, I know the majority of people are good. I know that. I know they're safe. But if I see a male, or even if it, like I see anybody making it a point to be extra kind, like, what are your intentions? Get away from my kids.
I know, but it sucks because like I make it a point to be kind to kids.
And I know you're okay.
Like we were just at the grocery store and the little girl, I mean, she was a tiny little baby.
She was a little bitty.
Like maybe a year and a half old or something.
Oh, not
like
yet. I don't even think she's that old.
But I always do that.
I know.
And I don't do it because I'm a creeper. Like, I like kids, and I don't know. I don't know why I do it other than I like kids, and it reminds me of our kids when they were little, and they're so cute, and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But that means that what you just described is you're always suspicious of people that are extra nice to kids.
People are going to be looking at you like, why are you looking at my kid?
Everybody whose kids I'm extra nice to are like, what is this guy? What is he doing? Undoubtedly, they are.
Doesn't that feel like shit, though?
So that's why it goes back to I force myself to not live in that space.
Yeah. I'm trying. I'm doing better.
Even though it's super nerve-wracking.
I'm doing better.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I'm like, who is this adult? You're having a conversation with child. Why don't I know this adult? How does this adult know so much about, you know? Then I like put myself in between them. The stare down begins. Like, I'm ready to take you out.
Yeah. I don't want to go off on all of that area of it's conversation. So it is hard and it sucks. I just wanted to, for whatever reason, I thought about that this morning. I'm like, oh yeah, you haven't listened to it. And that's a big chunk of what we talked about and led into a bunch of different other things. But
I will have listened to it by our next podcast so that we can dive into it if you would like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you as convinced as I am?
So do you want to talk about Esther?
To a point. No, not really. I don't think I haven't even finished the book yet, so I can't. I don't know if there's a big conclusion that frees me from the chain. So I want to hear the last 2 hours of the book. And then that's her second, or not her second. It might be her second. I don't know how many books she's got out there. I've only found the two, but I know Mating in Captivity was first, and I haven't listened to that one yet or read that one yet. And I kind of want to get a feel first because I don't know. And I'm still not like, yeah, no, I'm not ready to talk about it.
You've listened to some of her episodes, right? Some of her podcasts.
Yeah.
What is it called? I'm going to pull it up so that people can go and find
it. It's not.
Because I highly recommend it.
Yeah. You can search it by her name, but it's not her name. I can't remember. It's like something kind of off.
Where Should We Begin?
There you go.
Alexa. With Esther Perel.
So I have not listened for a little. I think it is like season 3 is coming out.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to season 2. I listened to quite a bit of season 1 and it didn't go over well. I was still like. I was having a hard time. So it was, everything was like.
Just lots of triggers.
Yeah. So again, I feel like I dove into her because I'm like ready, but at the same part or at the same time, it's like, So I definitely need to, I'm not ready to discuss a lot because I feel like I'm still too much in process. I don't have enough groundwork laid yet to really. I will happily get into it, but I'm too in process right now to get into it.
I would recommend you go and listen to the episode of Dax.
I know. I'll just put that on my list.
You're going to need to take the next 4 days off from
anything
else and just lock yourself in our bedroom and listen to things. Finish books.
I can't just sit there. I have to move. I have the books.
We've got a Brené Brown next Netflix special that we need to watch.
Yeah, because I haven't even got to that yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fine.
You know what? Let's just end the fucking podcast right now.
I feel like overwhelmed. Yeah. I'm sitting here like, I need to get up and move. I don't have enough.
We've got too many things that we need to listen to and download and read. So stay tuned when we come back in 6 weeks and we've finished everything. We can continue to talk about them on the podcast.
I was going for walks. I would take Angel for just a little bit, not a lot, because and she's doing so good now. I don't know if it's just because she's old and she doesn't have the pull or if it's finally sunk in because I don't even have to do anything. She just trots right next to me.
She's pretty good on the leash.
Yeah. Now, you know, she's 100 years old and now she's like, all right, we'll just take it slow and easy around the block. But I get very involved in whatever I'm listening to. And sometimes I talk to it. Sometimes I yell at it. So it's okay when you're in your car or you're in your house doing things. But when you're just like rocking around the block with your dog and all of a sudden you're like, oh, bullshit. And like having reactions, you know, it looks weird. You look a little crazy. So
you're the crazy woman that people are going to be calling in soon to the police. We don't know what this woman does. She just walks around the neighborhood. We don't know where she's from.
She'll start yelling or crying or laughing.
Next thing you know, she's dropping F-bombs. Nobody's around.
Oh, my God. I totally look like a nut job.
Yeah. That's okay, though. The police will bring you home. It'll be all right. I'll let them know that everything's fine.
Yeah.
My wife's just triggered by an audiobook.
You know, if you're not triggered by it, if you're not getting emotion from it, for one, why are you wasting time with it? And two, you're really not paying attention.
Correct.
If you can't feel it, you're just like, why bother?
Feel it to feel it.
Yeah.
No, what is the, there's some stupid tagline thing that name it to tame it, feel it to fix it. None of this is ringing a bell
Well,
for you.
You say like you got to feel it to heal it. Feel I thought it is what you it. Said. I didn't know it was a tagline. I thought it was a Craig line.
No. I don't have any of those. All of those things drive me nuts.
Is it the bane of your existence?
Yes. Bane of existence is definitely mine.
I thought you didn't have any.
Well, that one I definitely have.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like I'm maybe over exaggerating slightly when I say it's the bane of my existence.
I love it when you do like your hands get into it. It's like your hands turn into extra little mouths and you come up and they're like pointy like birds and you're like, the bane. I'm like, whoa.
You're like, bring it to a point.
You're holding both hands and it's like, whoa. And then your lips come out. You're like,
massively frustrating and infuriating these things are.
Name one.
I don't know. I can't think of any right now.
You can't think of any banes of your existence that you need
right now. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything right now. There's nothing present in my present moment that's the bane of my existence.
I stuck a receipt by your wallet. and one of my chapsticks.
No, I'm okay with that right now.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just, why? Why are you okay with that right now?
Because it's not a big deal.
Uh-huh. I also stuck my water bottle over there and my purse.
Okay. Is the toaster still out on the counter?
Ooh, it might be.
If the toaster is still out on the counter, then we're approaching the bane of my existence. Yeah.
But I had to get it out to get the ninja out to make your delicious smoothie.
The toaster's not really out on the counter, is it?
I hope I put it away. I don't think I left it out. I think I put it away. The ninja's still out because I was trying to hurry and get over there. But I'm pretty sure I took the toaster out, took the ninja out behind it. And instead of leaving it out to put the ninja away, which would make sense, I'm pretty sure that I then put the toaster away, knowing that when I put the ninja away, I'm going to have to take the toaster back out. So I should have left it out, but I'm pretty sure I put it away because counter space.
Yeah.
So.
So what do you want to get into, babe? I got a couple ideas.
But you got a couple ideas?
I got a couple
ideas too.
Well, what's one of yours?
Well, I feel bad. Like, you should do your thing.
No, don't feel bad. Go ahead. Mine's not going anywhere.
Well, neither is mine, but I've got like a few.
Okay, well, the people listening want us to pick.
They want us to pick?
Yeah.
Do they want me to pick or do they want you to pick?
They want you to pick.
Are you sure?
Yes, I just did a poll on Instagram.
Let me see the results.
Pull it up.
Let me see it.
Yeah.
Bullshit. It's the bane of my existence. Okay. Gosh, there's so many things. How much can I pack into one podcast? Because I want to say it all right now. Okay, so the one that I was thinking of last time and that I wanted to kind of get into. I feel like I need my hook line, but I don't have the hook line.
Hook line and...
Sinka. It's about, in a sense, and you can help me with this, why? What is it about people or, I don't know, this is going well. I'm getting nervous to talk about it, so I'm stammering. What is it that makes us think that we're not enough when we have a passion about something, we want to step forward, that we're not ready yet? We won't do it. We hesitate and hold back out of just self-doubt. You see, there's a group of people, for instance, that will just have an idea, not have any background, have a little bit of background, and just go with it. And then you have those that do that hesitation, but then go with it. And then you have those that will never, ever, ever feel like they've got enough information or they're worthy enough or that they're healed enough or whatever to go to follow a passion. So what is it that you think? Why do we doubt ourselves and not move?
So what causes people to stay stuck instead of...
I prefer you don't say stuck, but...
Okay.
That brings out the defiant, like, oh yeah, watch this.
What causes... What is the... Now I'm trying to think of a different way to describe stuck. And you're not...
No, don't think of a different way to describe. We're not talking about stuck. It's not stuck.
Frozen?
No. None of those words.
No, just the struggle of stepping into a space that you may want to step into, but have too many or so much anxiety or stress or fear or whatever the case may be that stops you from stepping into those spaces or into those experiences or whatever it is that you may want to be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And are you talking like big picture things in life or just all sorts of different ways that we kind of hesitate to step into some of those spaces?
Both. All sorts of ways, big picture, like so much of that right now, it's big for me because okay. I have a whole lot of things that I want to do and that I'm going to do and I'm going to step into. And then, oh yeah, I got to get this taken care of first. Oh, wait, this has been a hard month that's turned into 2 months or 3 months. I don't have enough with this. Wait, I don't really know anybody. So I second guess and talk myself out of so much. And then I see other people start to do it. Like this is, you know, we've been talking and it's so hard. And then when you start to look at all the ways that you are ready, and you had this information, you had all this, you know, if everybody waited until they had all the information and they were healed, nobody would do anything because that's never a thing.
Correct. But
why do I then get frozen, fun word, and not move?
Why do you, dear? Why do you think you do?
I don't know. Let's go back to the people, because I know I'm not the only one, because I have also talked to other people about this.
Yeah, of course you're not the only one. Everybody does that. Everybody has hesitation in regards to stepping forward and doing things that are difficult for them or things that bring up a lot of fear, right? What I was thinking of as you continue to talk about this, it made me think about, we'll use this as kind of an example, right?
Yeah.
So when we went to California last year and we went to the nude beach, right? That was something that could have caused, not could have, that did cause a lot of fear, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Maybe we weren't ready for it. Maybe there were things that we needed to do to lead up to it. Maybe we needed to spend the next year and a half exercising and working out before we felt comfortable to strip down naked.
P90X.
You know, all of these different things that we could have used to talk ourselves out of it. Yeah. But when it came time and we put our feet in the sand, we immediately stripped down naked and walked on this beautiful beach and had a beautiful experience. And all the ways that we felt like we were going to be too afraid to do it or unprepared to do it, or it was going to end miserably with whatever people, I don't know what we thought was going to happen. But it was beautiful and it was wonderful. And all we had to do was take that first step and get naked and walk out onto this beach. And we had a wonderful time. So
did, but that's that kind of proves my,
like, that kind of proves your point.
Well, I was going to say, like, how, for instance, you're not immune to fears. You have hesitations, but you just do it.
Not all the time though.
The majority of the time, babe, you're a doer. But like, even with the nude beach, like, yes, we had hesitation. I knew I was going to do it. I knew you were going to do it, but I was like going to ease myself into the process. And we get out there and you're like, okay, here we are. Boom, you're naked. And I'm like, okay, we're doing this. I didn't do it first. I didn't have that like boom bold that you're so generously including me in. Like, you were sun and skin. Like, granted, I did it immediately after, but I still didn't have that. I want that fire. I want that ability to take that first step.
So what is keeping you from taking that first step? What is the fear that is so present that blocks that fire from, because you have that fire inside of you?
I don't know, like, what? I don't know.
Well, do you want to try to go into it?
Well, is it like, no, I want to figure it out for other people and then I'll just gain from it without having to sit in the hot seat.
Well, that's a good idea. But now somebody is listening to you.
Do they have the answer?
And they have the exact same feeling and they have this exact same struggle and they have the exact same hesitation and the exact same fears and the exact same frustration over that process.
I could talk to them. And we could figure it out together.
You get to go first. So but that they get to learn from your experience right now that you're about to have on the podcast.
I don't know. Okay, well, let's do this then. You say not always. You were sitting there thinking about your, because all I see is like.
Well, it's because you don't see the ways that I don't do it.
What ways do you don't?
In some ways you do, right? We can think about all of these different things that I have ideas about or things that I want to do or experiences that I want to have or intentions for, you know, and then I don't do them.
But you, I don't know, I guess, but I see so much of when you decide that something is important to you. If you decide it's important to you, then that's it. End of story. You do it. Like, if it's something that may be cool that you want to do, that you think about, you don't like jump on every impulse. Anyways, you don't jump on every impulse, but if you decide that something means something to you and you feel it in your body, you do it. That's the part. I'm not just saying like everything like, oh, I should do this. No, I am passionate. I have visions and I have things that just take my body and just like, I feel it. I can feel it. And then as my, you know, start moving, then it's like, oh, wait, that's the difference. It's why do I stop? Why do people stop? And, like I had one lady say to me that, yeah, she's not ready, but she's like, if I don't do it right now, I'm not going to do it. So she still jumps. And it's like, oh, God damn it. I don't want to fail. And I feel like I need to know enough. I need to have enough. I need to do enough. I need to have enough inside me. I need more skills. I need more everything. Because what? If I don't, then I'm going to get up there and fail. And oh my God.
What happens if you fail?
The end of the world.
There you go. That's why you don't do it.
Then I ruin everything.
Because for you, it invokes such a level of fear and anxiety that it feels like the end of the world. It feels like everything you know is going to come crashing down around you. Everything will shift and change and you will be cast out from society and your family into a space of purgatory if you fail.
Yep.
So there you go, babe. We solved it. That's
well,
why.
What do I do with it? But I also procrastinate until, like, I hate pressure, right? Yeah. I don't like being under pressure. I don't like.
Under pressure.
However, when I'm under pressure and it's go time and I don't have time to think, I make things work.
But do you
I work
like,
the best under pressure.
Do you like the dynamic of waiting until it's so go? Because there's so much pressure built up. Or would you rather handle that in a different way?
I would rather handle that in a different way. However, when the pressure is so intense, I succeed. So, like, I don't have time to think. I don't have time to get in my way. I just go. And when I just go, it works. But I have to wait until it's, and if I don't have something that is like a pressure, if it's just something that's just going to kind of pass me by, then it'll go. But if it's like a, you have to make a decision now and I wait till it's time to make the decision, then I can do it. So I don't know. Maybe that's how I'm supposed to do it. Mm. Yeah, it's stressful. But at the same point, every time I've like all the things that I've done that with. I don't know, maybe not all the things, but a good majority of the things I've done pretty well.
Well, we would still just be shacking up if we had waited for you to come around to decision of whether or not we were going to get married or when we should set the date.
We'd probably still be living in separate houses. No, I don't think so.
So much fear, babe. All of these indecisions and hesitations and procrastinations. I like that. All the nation, indecisions. What did I say? Indecisions, hesitations, and procrastinations.
Yes.
All of those other
isms.
At least for you, I think have some element of fear.
Well, yeah, that's definitely got some fear.
Yeah. So then we get to go deeper into fear. And like I said, it's like, feels like the world's going to end.
Yeah.
So then you have to go deeper into that feeling. What does that really feel like for you?
I don't know. Maybe there's a book on it or a podcast that I can pick up and listen to that's going to give
and
me the
not
answer.
Finish and half-ass read and then get distracted by other things.
No. I finish all the books I start. I just can't keep it to one. I've got a ton that I've gone through. I've got a ton of audiobooks. I go through them.
What are you searching for?
The answers.
Hmm. Confucius say.
Elevators smell different to midget.
Elevators smell different to midget. So another way to think about that fear that mm-hmm. exists that keeps you from making decisions or moving forward with things that you really want to do in life or whatever the case may be.
I resent your making decisions statement.
Well, that's the small scale example of what that fear does to you. The large scale example is you know. But you don't always do it.
You're right, I don't.
You don't always do it.
I just do it when I really freaking want something.
Yes, you just do it when it's something very, very important to you. Or whether or not you want scrambled eggs or over medium eggs. Two very important things.
Well, I get sick of freaking eggs. And so I have to decide which one, you know, like I have to balance out that because...
Baby, it's a fear response. It's a not a fear response. What I meant to say is it's a frozen response. Out of the fight, flight, or freeze, it is the freeze.
You it's freeze. The freeze response. I don't freeze.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't.
I do sometimes. I
don't. Never. You know what I do with freeze? I make a smoothie.
And they are delicious.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like that.
I know.
It really pisses me off.
I know it does. But that's it.
I'd rather have fight or flight because freeze just pisses me off. Freeze is weak. I'd rather get out or take it on as opposed to being stagnant.
That so we talked about this last night at group.
I wasn't there.
I know. So what I mean by we is the guys at men's group. And one of them was sharing and talking about how like a frozen state for him seems like a wall that he has to overcome or seems like something that he has to, you know, solve or something like that. Something that he has to fix so that it goes away so that he doesn't experience it anymore.
I connect with that.
Yeah. So let me give you a different way to think about it, okay. A different perspective to kind of look at it.
I'm ready. What
the,
do you got?
The fight, flight, and freeze response that our bodies exhibit due to outside stimuli, right, are genetic, integral, evolutionary things that have developed in humans that we cannot change.
Oh, bullshit. I can change it. Don't tell me I can't.
But you cannot.
Oh, yes, I can.
Stop your body from having a fight response, a freeze response, or a flee response because it is a ingrained subconscious protective mechanism in our DNA that we have developed over the course of time in history. So you can't change the response.
I can change how long I stay in it, though.
So rather than looking at it from an angle of like, I need to fix this problem or how do I not behave this way? Or how do I shift a frozen response into something else? Mm-hmm. What I think is important is to acknowledge that it's something that you can't change. Also acknowledge that it's something that isn't wrong. It's just your body's reaction to outside stimulus.
It makes me feel hopeless.
Well, think about instead of feeling hopeless, encouraging yourself to be more present in those states, which then allow you to own that experience more, be more present in a frozen state, bring more awareness to that state and what's happening to you as well as your body and your emotions and your thoughts, which then will allow you to actually move through the experience in a more conscious way as opposed to being subject to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And there's part of me that's like, oh, that's a really sweet thought, you know? Tell me about the, you know, unicorn, rainbow, glitter life that you know? I just think it's so funny because, like, I think of my life and I think, no, I have too much, like, there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of deep trauma. So it's different for me than other people. Because of the amount of trauma. And then I sit there with it. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, it is deep. However, I immediately start thinking about like the people that my trauma looks like a walk in the park. Like how I see some of the other ones. Like, oh yeah, is that hard? Tell me how that's hard. And like this. And then it's like, oh wait, mine. To these people that, like, mine's nothing. So you have that, but what about the trauma, whatever level it is, that we have in our lives that really solidify that? Like, when it is a survival thing, it's not a emotional survival, but when it's a, oh, this could be bad thing that freezes you or brings you into fight or flight. When you're overpowered, when you're to a point where you do not have any of the power left, the fight that kicks in does go. And then it turns into a, you can't, you know, it's like flight, fight, or then freeze is what it is for me. I try to get away. I can't get away. So then it turns to fight and I realize there's nothing left. So then it turns to surrender and hope for the best kind of thing. I don't know. It's weird. So that pattern's pretty ingrained. So how would I honestly feel like what I just said, I feel like there are people that can hear that. Like that. So what do we do? What do we do? People that understand me.
So the fact is you were born with a fight, flight, or freeze response.
That we all were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're born with something. Mm-hmm. So it would, I mean, it's literally like, I want to change how I breathe subconsciously.
Yes, I do actually.
You don't.
I want to breathe more with my whole body.
But you don't think about breath. Breath just happens.
Depends on what I'm doing.
Right.
I think about breath. I will have a contradiction for everything.
You will. And we'll just go in circles. It's something that you're born with. This response to stimulus is just something that we're all born with. And it's there for a reason. So the fight, flight, or freeze response, these reactionary things that take place within our bodies are there for a reason. They serve a purpose. Therefore, we do not need to get rid of them or change them. We just need to learn how to work with them. So just the simple way that you bring awareness to your breath and how at times you can shift your breath because you realize maybe I'm holding my breath or my breathing is shallower or it's not as deep as I would like it to be in this experience or in this moment. Just the way that you can consciously connect to your breath and work with your breath, you can do the same thing with awareness in those different states that occur. So you're not going to change your breath in the sense like, fuck it, I'm done breathing. You're just going to bring awareness to, oh, look, I'm doing this with my breath right now and I want to breathe deeper. So I'm going to relax and breathe deeper into the experience. Oh, look, I'm frozen right now. I want to bring awareness to it and then work with that feeling and work in that state rather than be unaware that it's occurring or aware that it's occurring and then sit there and be like, fuck it, I'm just not going to feel frozen. Because it's a state that's going to occur regardless of what you do. But it's what you do that you can then take control back and own the experience and move through the experience differently than you ever have before in life.
Yeah, I think you can. I think there's more control over it than that because I just had a realization.
What's that?
Freeze is my last, like, is when I realize that my only chance of survival may be to freeze. But that's me. Like, if it's involving somebody else, I don't feel like I...
So?
That's not the case. So then it is different. So why, if the scenario depends on... If the scenario depends on who's involved, then... Obviously, I have control over it.
Everybody's different. Everybody has the programming, but how the programming plays out is dependent upon your life experiences and what you have lived through and experienced and been exposed to. Depends upon, you know, your DNA, your makeup, all those kind of things. But just being a human, everybody has it. It just depends on how it plays out over the course of their life. The way that you're describing, you initially have a flight. And then you have a fight, and then you have a freeze.
But that's just me. Well, when I'm the only one involved.
You don't always have them in that order either. It's not an order. It's not a procession. It's not you first have to feel the flight, and then you get to feel the fight, and then you get to feel the freeze. You experience all of them at different times in regards to different things. And yes, there may be some that trigger that succession of response.
Maybe that's all I'm thinking is those real severe ones.
Yeah. but they are present in...
Sorry.
Bonk. Microwave. It's not microwave. Microphone. They're present in small, little, subtle ways all the time. Think of how often you get startled. Where...
Well, that depends. Are you trying to scare me? Because not that often.
It's not trying to scare you. It's a, oh shit, what damn was it. That? See? Just like that. So that little micro response of that experience, right? Mm-hmm. That thing that your body just does, that's like a really quick, what was that? And then you've frozen instantaneously for a split second.
To fight you.
And then you have awareness.
And I was ready to fight you.
But you have a frozen state first, not a flee state.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyways.
Let's move on.
Well,
This is a stupid topic. Who came up with this?
The three Fs. Fuck this. Fuck that. Fuck you.
My new mantra. Where did you come up?
Just came from the top of my head.
I love that.
The three Fs.
I mean, I don't like want to say fuck you, but fuck this, fuck that, fuck you.
Yeah.
Boom. Triple F. Oh, I love that you're saying three. Three is a big number. I'm going to talk to you about threes in a little while and a decision that I came to yesterday, but we'll get to that. But three, the fact that you said three says ding, 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 trigger. I'm supposed to talk about it.
Okay, well, go ahead.
No.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Fuck this, fuck that, fuck you.
Yeah, but I had a big thing about all of these different responses.
You startled me, my initial freeze. My like.
Yeah, what was I going to say though? I can't remember. I was going to talk about how we can learn to work through them, through these experiences. And by work, meaning we can learn to move through these experiences rather than being, like I said, subject to them, right? So if you think about, I feel like I have to burp.
I keep yawning.
I burp and burp. Gosh darn it. As a cop, we had to move through difficult experiences, right? Times when tunnel vision occurs, when you get very, very stuck or frozen in a fight, flight, or freeze response in the situations that took place. So rather than get stuck in those moments, or rather than pretend that those moments don't happen and you're immune to those moments, implementing things to bring awareness to the fact that this is going to happen and this is how we can move through that experience. And a lot of it was in relation to like the worst case scenarios, and a lot of it had, so one of the examples that I used when I was talking to the guys last night at group was all the fine motor skills that go out the window. So everything that you do in regards to defensive tactics or weapons handling and reloading and all these kind of things are not fine motor skills, because those go out the window and you lose the ability to use fine motor skills. Everything becomes gross motor skills. And so it's the same thing where we can learn to recognize what's taking place and acknowledge that it's going to happen in these states emotionally, and come up with practices and techniques and ways to drop into them and experience them so that we move through them in a more clear, conscious way. So then that way we can not just survive the experience, but that we can own more of that experience that takes place. Does that make sense?
It does. And also the realization of that's why I was never a cop.
Yeah, but you did that as a dispatcher.
But my life wasn't threatened. And when you're doing that, that's what I'm talking about. Like the pressure was on. You didn't have time to sit there and think, what should I do? Should I do this? It was like, you have to do it. You have to do it now. So there was no time. You just boom, 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 boom. But I didn't have the...
It doesn't matter that your life wasn't threatened.
No, I don't know that I wouldn't freeze if my life was threatened.
Your body doesn't know the difference. Your body and your brain and your subconscious physiological response and reaction cannot differentiate between my life's not threatened here or my life is threatened here. Your body just has the response because it's ingrained inside of your body and your DNA.
You know, I say froze, but I don't think that's right. Because when I think about that and I think about the ways that I described frozen, I think I became very analytical in those senses. It wasn't like frozen as in I just sit there and didn't move. It was like everything got slow. And what do I need to do? Like I was very careful.
You're thinking about work, about dispatch now?
No, I'm thinking about whether it's whatever it is. You know, I remember like, yeah, there's things that dispatch, but then the things in life that I was saying with trauma where I would think, you know, I freeze is the last, but that becomes like things are like, I can see outcomes, like things that are a very deliberate choice at that point. This equals this. So it's not just freezing. It's, I know what I need to do in this moment to get to the next moment kind of thing. And then, like, when you say that with dispatch, I remember there'd be calls that I would go back and listen to because, you know, you second guess yourself after the fact. And I remember being on some of those and feeling like things were just so slow, feeling like I took so long to say this or so long to come up with this thing and to get this step done. It felt like it just took way too long. And like kicking my ass. Like I needed to move faster. Why wasn't I faster? And going back and listening to it and hearing the way like afterwards when it's not happening and things moved really fast and it was like, and there wasn't all these long pauses that I felt were happening. So I don't know. I guess it's perception of the moment of what it actually looks like. But yeah, I want to shift that. I want to figure out how to work through it because I don't want to do that anymore.
You want to own your experience in those states.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to jump when I want to jump. When I find something that's passionate, I don't want to come up with the reasons why I'm not enough. Fuck that. I want to do it. But then, oh my God, somebody might see me. I might fail. I'm bringing shame to the family. I won't be loved. If I fail, I won't be loved.
There you go.
There it is. All right. Well, fuck that. No, fuck that's this. Big. That's big. That sucks. That's it. If I fail, then I'm not going to do more than.
Yeah.
So, all right. Riddle me that. Fix that. Go ahead. What do I do?
Tell me about the threes. You came to a decision about three.
Okay. So, you know, I'm a kind of a number dork. Not as in I'm good at math. No. Just the meanings of numbers and the repetition and all the things. So fives have been really big. I've been getting a lot of fives and you get the, they're like, if you see this number, and I keep getting the repetitions, the 222, 333, 444, but fives have been huge. And yesterday was
Cinco de Mayo.
5-5. And I had, I think it started off with, smoking. That I was thinking about smoking. And I was like, I don't have to. I don't have to think about, oh my God, I'm another year older and I'm still smoking and this is hard on my body. Like this year, I didn't have to like feel guilty about that and be like, God damn it. I didn't want to be smoking at this age. I didn't want to be smoking at this age. I didn't want to be smoking at this age. It was like, I'm not smoking. Like I don't have to do it. And then I just felt like,
We need to pause.
Why?
So you gotta then pee I again? Can, no, I want to introduce at this moment. Like the celebratory. Yeah. Good job. It's amazing, babe.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
We both did it. I'm pounding on my chest. I don't know if I'm opening up my heart or if I'm like Tarzan in it. What's going on? But I'm like.
Working on your nerves. Meridians.
Maybe that's. I wonder if that's. And this is where I go to you too. When I notice that and you're like, don't do that right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so what is it about this?
I don't know.
It's but my continue. Brain buttons. I'm punching brain my brain buttons. Buttons.
Your these numerology, are my brain. Your fives.
No, these are the meridians. These are my brain buttons.
Okay. Just for you listening, she's thumping on her chest.
They can hear it. Okay. So I had awareness of the things that I were thinking that I was making decisions and the significance of 5-5 at that point. And I remember having the big like 38 was the 11 year, like telling you, it's your 11 year, babe, big things. Like it's a big year. It was a big year for me. And then being like, okay, whew. Like that was a big year. and try to be all positive, like, this is going to be a 12 year. It's even better. I'm like, no, it's not 12. You can't. Only 11 is a master number. It's 3. And I was like, threes come into a play quite a bit. And then it was like, 39, 3. And then the divisible, whatever, 9 divided by 3. And then if you do 3 times 3. And so I'm like, oh, everything about my age is threes. And then 2019 is a 3. So I'm starting to see all these threes come up. And then, boom, I bring it with my birthday again, which 2 plus 3 is 5, which is the month. And then 2 times 3 is 6, which is the day divided by 3 divided or 6 divided by 3. Anyways, I just went on this, like, all the ways that I was taking all the numbers and, like, spinning them. And it always came to threes. And I'm like, okay, this is a 3. This is solid. This is good. I'm going to do big things. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to, I started talking really nice to myself. And like, I've got to know you this year. This last year, I've got to know you. And like, I'm ready to take it to the next level with you. I'm going to commit to you this year. And like all these things and being a complete dork. I'm like, I'm going to fall in love with you this year. And I'm going to, such a dork. I'm not a dork. It's awesome. So I was like committing to myself yesterday on how this year is going to be a really digging in and getting to know myself and love myself and be comfortable with who I am. And like, I'm young still. Like, I'm young enough to be wild. I'm young enough to, like, my body is healthy. I can do all of the things. I'm very able, I can be very active. I can be very adventurous, but I'm also old enough that I've got wisdom and I've got life experiences that will guide me. Like, I'm at a great age. This is a wonderful age because it's like the best of both worlds right now. Like, I'm pretty invincible. You know, I can do all of these things. I have all of this information, all of this ability. And so, like, begin practicing that today. Like, when you, I don't like, I'm having a hard time with my body. And then, like, I have a hard time wearing shorts. So today was a conscious effort to wear shorts. And then you being silly took my bra off after I'd put it on. I'm like, okay, these are my breasts and they're okay. And to go out without, even though it was cold, so I conveniently had my arms folded over my braless boobs.
You had a shirt on.
I did have a shirt on. Nice.
And yeah, we do like nude beaches, but we don't go downtown with topless.
So I made that point, and then I wanted to put on makeup, and I don't have any makeup on today. It's just being raw. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go through this year with, you know, shorts and no bras and no makeup because I'm standing, but it's being just okay. And it's hard. So I had to like fight that entire time to be okay and give myself that love that, like, it's okay. It's okay. Just like, oh my God, it's hard. I'm going to get emotional.
You're going to fall in love with Steph this year?
I got to know her last year. She's a pretty cool chick.
She is a very cool chick.
Yeah, now I want to take it to the next level.
I think that's a good idea.
So it's 3, and then it's a big 3. It's my power number this year.
Totally ask her out.
Well, no, we've been dating.
Oh, you've been dating?
Now, like I said, I'm committing myself to her now.
Are you going to propose?
No. Let's like slow the fuck down
there. Are you going to move in with her maybe?
I just said, I'm like, no, why are you taking it so
maybe
far?
Maybe what you need to do is just announce your relationship on Facebook with Stephanie. Right? And that's the next level you need to take it to. Maybe I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but like you just said, like those things, and I'm immediately like, I'm about to back out. Like, nope, this went too fast. It's getting a little too real. I thought I was ready, but
she's going to be texting me all the time.
See, I can't deal with that kind of pressure.
She's
going
to want to hang out. She's going to want to have me walk around without a bra on.
So threes are big.
Yeah,
threes big. I'm going to incorporate. I'm going to work a lot with threes and the Trinity of things.
I like the way you described being a point in your life where you're still vibrant, you're still young, you're still healthy, your body is still capable of doing all the things that you want to be able to do with it and enjoy in this life, and yet you have enough experience under your belt that you can approach life with this wisdom that you have gained so that you can move through it in such a different way than you ever have before. And I think that's beautiful, babe. It's very exciting. And I, like, as you were sharing it, I'm like, yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, but I am strong and I am healthy and I am fit and I am capable and my body is still like strong and I have all of this wisdom that I have gained from, you know, the past 38 years that now I feel much more capable and suited to proceed with this life given my experience. And I mean, that's a level of confidence that makes it much easier to jump. It makes it much easier to take those risks or those things that you're afraid of. If you can think back to this moment and remember that fact that you have 39 years of wisdom under your belt.
Right.
And you still have 39 plus more years of your life to live.
I'm going to make it to 88. That's going to happen.
That you're going to get to enjoy
And
benefit and grow and experience. And it's time.
See, isn't that like that? Doesn't that just fill you with so much like
optimism and joy and happiness?
So much. It's like, oh my God, this, like, I'm at a perfect age. We're at a perfect age. Not saying that anybody, like, everybody's always at a perfect age. I'm not, you know, if you don't happen to be right at this spot, you're still worthy.
If you're 23, you're not at a good age. If you're 23, you're dumb as a box of rocks. You're dumber at 23 than you were at 13. I promise you.
Well, you know, I think you are.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, we're past that. And it's okay. You'll get past that. You know, it's, I'm happy.
I'm happy
for
you.
So I'm excited.
I'm excited to watch you in this relationship with Stephanie. It's my two favorite people.
Well, it is May, so how much you want to watch me in the relationship with Stephanie?
What does May have to do with it?
Have you not heard?
No, what's May?
Masturbation May.
Is it Masturbation Month?
Mm-hmm.
I love all these stupid fucking months that we're coming up with.
What, stupid?
Like yesterday was Apple Pie Day.
Is it?
April was...
Apple Pie Day.
I don't know. We can name anything we want.
It was Cinco de Mayo.
Okay, well, it's Taco Day then. Who knows what Cinco de Mayo
and
is about.
And did you play with your taco?
I did not play with my taco.
I know. I'm sad. I played with mine.
May is the month of masturbation.
It is. It's masturbation itself.
Should we do a stretch for month of May where we masturbate every day?
I'm doing pretty good on that. How are you doing?
I got to catch up. Hold on a minute. We got to pause the podcast for maybe 90 seconds and I'll catch up with you.
I have not yet completed that task for over today, so I was hoping for a partner.
Now, this is where the podcast shifts. And everybody...
I took my pants off for a reason when we started.
Oh my goodness. So. That's really funny. I didn't know it was Masturbation Month. Well, there you go.
Can you think of anything else? You just like lost your train of thought.
I got super squirreled. I can only think about masturbation at this point in time.
You or me?
Both. Either or.
Either or.
Same time.
That's fun.
Shared experiences. I love you.
I love you too.
We're both just made each other blush and embarrassed.
So what do you think? I'm going to play with this cord right here. It's going to look at this. It plugs in right here. Look at that. That's pretty fascinating.
I'm excited for you, babe.
Well, I'm excited for you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got good stuff coming. And we got good stuff right where we're at.
Yeah. I want to move.
Yeah. Stop wherever you are right now, if you're listening, and just take stock of your life. And rather than think about all the things that you're not successful with, or all the things that you're doing that you don't want to be doing, or all the things that you wish were happening in your life, after you finish masturbating, take a moment and really appreciate everything that you do have. Even if you feel like you don't have anything, the fact is you're alive. you're listening to this podcast. The sun will come out tomorrow. The world is still going to continue to spin. And oftentimes we just have to remember, like, we're right where we're supposed to be. That's a little too warm and fuzzy for me to end the podcast on. What do you think?
Do you want to leave it with warm and fuzzy, or should I?
You want to leave it with a cliffhanger?
I was going to leave a cliffhanger. I was going to leave it with Janelle's text to me.
Yes. What was Janelle's text?
She hopes my day is filled with vodka, dildos, and cake.
There you go.
Thank you, Janelle.
In any order.
All of
all at the same time. a vodka cake full of dildos.
A vodka cake. Oh my goodness. I liked your warm and fuzzy though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I like your warm and fuzzy.
You like my what you want. We need to just like.
Yeah, we're going to end the podcast because just... it's Steph's birthday and we have to go have some birthday sex.
Let's go. Let's go. Love you. But then, oh my God, somebody might see me. I might fell. I'm bringing shame to the family. I won't be loved. If I fell, I won't be loved. If you can't feel it, you're just like, why bother? How much can I pack into one podcast? If everybody waited until they had all the information and they were healed, nobody would do anything because that's never a thing.